When we did the interview, the New Zealand Mega was still going to happen, but since this interview was done, they have decided to postpone the New Zealand Mega 1 year. So just wanted to let you know that before we started the podcast tonight. Welcome to the Geocache Talk Presents, an exciting and interesting podcast brought to you by the Geocache Talk Geocaching Network. This podcast is about geocachers, their stories, as well as their tips, tricks, and adventures. So thank you for coming along for Geocache Talk Presents. We are joined today by Paul and Rachel Postma, the Curious Kiwis.
Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Great. Thanks for joining. And this will be fun. We had a lot of fun at Podcast of Hope.
Yep. No, that was good. That was good. It was a while ago now.
Right? Yep. Yeah. It was a few weeks ago. Back in December. But so this will be fun. We're going to go through our some of our basic Geocache Talk Presents questions, but it'll be fun. We're going to intertwine some other questions in there. So I didn't give them these questions. So they'll have to be like ready for, yeah.
Bring it on.
All right, let's start with some easy ones. Where and how did you find out about geocaching?
Who's going to answer that one?
You can answer that one.
It's because it's basically me who discovered it. We follow these guys on YouTube. They're the Tim Tracker. They're a Disney couple from Florida.
Cool.
And at some point in one episode on YouTube, they went out to a thing so-called geocaching. And I was watching. I was like, okay, that sounds interesting. So, yeah, just watched it and was like, oh, that's nice. So I showed Rachel, and Rachel was like, oh, that's cool. We should try that. And, looked it up and oh, hey, yeah, app is free. And so we downloaded the app from geocaching. And, well, yeah, then we went out, I think, even like a just maybe next day or something like
that. Yeah, it was, I think.
So that's how we discovered it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, do you remember that first find? It might not have been the greatest, but do you still remember it?
Yeah. It does. Just the feeling of like, wait, this is real? Like, people actually do this? Like, yep. I couldn't believe it when it was actually sitting there. I was like, what is this?
Indeed.
Like, it's amazing.
And in the same search for that first geocache, we came across a rock. Because I don't know if that's a worldwide thing, but here in New Zealand we have a lot of rocks. It's Auckland rocks or something like that.
Painted rock. People, right.
Yeah. People just place like painted rock somewhere, and you have to take it and just hide it somewhere or whatever. And I remember that, like, while searching for that geocache, and we were like proximity maybe 10 or 15 meters away from it.
Yeah.
So, and we saw this rock in a tree, and we'd be like, oh,
is that
the geocache? And then we looked at it, and oh, yeah, hashtag Auckland rocks or something like
we're
that.
We're like, oh, disappointed.
We have those too. My wife will find one once in a while, and I like how most places will put like Texas rocks, you know, and the Texas rock. There's, you know, different, pretty much every state has a little bit, but yeah. So that's, those are kind of like a fun extra. It's a bonus.
Yep.
Totally.
Yep, indeed.
So after that, did that get you hooked, or did it take a while? Did you find several and then go, oh yeah, we really love this? Or were you hooked from the beginning?
It was hooked from the first one. Beginning, yeah, totally. Definitely. And because we found like another five or six that day, and we were like, yeah, nah, this is it. We're going to do this all the time now.
Yeah. Because it was nicely hidden, like in a cavity in a tree, and I think it was a container. For America, 3 inches, I think, 3 or 4 inches, like a decently sized Tupperware box,
right?
With some trinkets in it, and it was a nice find. I think it would have gone different if it would have been like a bison tube or a mint tin or like. Like anything like that, but this was just a really nice find, and it got us hooked like immediately.
Totally.
Yep.
That is awesome. So we're switching to more of a philosophical question, but why do you think that you guys geocache?
I think well, one of the this is multiple things, but one of the things is to get out, there and get exercise.
We're very much homebody people, so if we get the chance to stay at home and watch movies and do nothing, we will do it straight away. So it's indeed nice to have a good excuse to go out and do it, because we don't exercise without like a reason. So this gives us a reason to get out and get some fresh air and do something that we wouldn't normally do.
No, that is good. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly for, you know, Susan walks a lot, but I need something, and I can't just walk. I need to.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's why I love geocaching, because I could walk a mile to get a geocache, but I'm not typically going to walk a mile for
nothing.
It's useless way to do that. It's like a waste of time, or I don't know. But
it's got to have a purpose.
We're going to. I have some other questions outside of our normal questions I want to talk to you guys about, YouTube channel and various things, but I watched one recently, but we'll get to that. I watched one that really sticks out. I'll get to that here in a moment. So, so what do you think at this point? Because how long have y'all been geocaching now?
Almost 2 years. Two years in September.
Yep.
Okay. 2 years. Yeah. At this point, do you have a favorite type or some kind of aspect to the game that you like better than others?
I would say for us, it's probably just your standard regular geocache, you know, something that's been really creatively hidden. That's it, just to see what kind of swags in it and if there's travel bugs, just kind of really the basics of the game, because we still only have been doing it for 2 years. So we're getting a little bit into other things, but not so much at the moment. Mm. So yeah, just still your normal basic regular with a really good story behind it or a good hide or and a good location.
Yep. Yeah, good location, because you guys have done some really good videos where you've gone to some really neat places in New Zealand. That's that kind of another aspect to the game is –
totally.
Like you said, a cool hide and a cool hide spot is always that's cool.
Yeah.
So if you were known for one thing in geocaching, what would it be?
In regards to our YouTube channel, probably our sense of humor.
Yeah.
I'd say like we kind of just like we just film our day. We don't plan anything ever, and we just naturally go about geocaching, and we just, you know, try and edit our videos to make them look like funny, to try and emphasize our humor in it. So it's not just about the cache, but also about like our interactions kind of thing.
We never do like a retake or anything. It's just we film it as is.
It's all natural. It's just editing that, kind of emphasizes the humor.
So, yeah, I guess you find. Even if it's a DNF, we still manage to make something out of it.
Yeah.
Because we just enjoy the whole thing and we try to show that through our videos.
Yeah.
Oh, and they do come through. You guys are great. I mean, I don't know if anybody's told you, but your videos are precious. I mean, you guys together are so great. You know, I've mentioned before for people who are like, well, which vlogger do you really kind of like? And I always come out with, I have three or four that I really like, and I always say, it isn't necessarily what happens, because Katie, Geocaching Katie, is a good example. She'll do a video and it's a DNF. There's nothing. And you guys have done that as well. And I tell people, it's like, it was a great video. It's because a lot of it's the personalities. And for you two, the interactions crack me up. Paul calling you lady all the time makes me giggle.
Because like the thing with that is we just call each other that in real life as well when the camera's off. So it's just like a natural like thing. Like we don't plan it, or it's just it is what it is.
Yeah. I love that. And so there's a couple times. I guess we'll get to it right now. This is the which of the two of you? This isn't in my script here. Which of the two of you? I should ask y'all individually, but. I'll let y'all answer together somehow. Who is the better geocacher? Who finds
the lady.
Oh, both point to Rachel. Yep,
the lady, for sure.
The lady.
Nothing you're bad.
I think she finds like 4 out of 5 geocaches. Like legit.
It is hysterical watching y'all do that, because for Susan and I, yeah, it's more like 5 out of 6 or even more. You know, it's 9 out of 10 that Susan will find it, and she'll just walk up right to it. I'll be staring, going,
"Yeah, yeah." Maybe it's just a woman thing.
That might be good for a good podcast sometime. Who's a better geocacher, man or woman? Yeah. But yeah, this is not necessarily a complete ad for y'all's YouTube channel, but for one aspect of it, I think it is. People who listen to this should go check out your YouTube channel, really. And we'll give more information at the end, but it's fun to watch the two of y'all interact during a cache search. You know, just because once in a while, Paul will find it and go, he'll look at the camera and go, it's right over there.
I do that sometimes behind the scenes. I'm like, I'm gonna let you look for it. I've already found it, but I'm gonna let you look for it.
And invariably, Paul's like I am. It's like, I walked right past it. What was I thinking?
I can stand like right in front of it, like in some plain sight. I just don't see it. And he's like, oh yeah, it's already there. And I hate those moments, but I love them too.
Oh, I know. Man, I've been there. I go, how did I not see it? Now I can see it. So do you have in the game, we'll switch gears here, not on the YouTube side, but do you have any goals or any kind of challenges you're working on for is there any kind of goal you're working on, trying to get one every month, every day, or is there something in particular that stands out that you're like, ooh, let's try to do something particular into the game?
Not really, I think.
We kind of just, in the game, when we want to go out geocaching, we kind of just like pick a place and go there and kind of think more to like fill out the map with smileys rather than, oh, we want to do a Jasma or something like that. I mean, we'll probably work on it more, obviously, once all this COVID drama is over, because it's kind of hard to plan for that kind of stuff right now. But not really, actually. Yeah,
we just have a whole list of things that we want to do. And in that list is also like the Jasma grid or the Fizzy grid. We tend to more like, things like, I don't know if you know, but Hobbiton from...
I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan, so...
like a place like that, we rather go to a place like that than work on our Physigrid, for example.
Yeah, we base more on places rather than, like, geocaching-specific goals, if that makes any sense.
No, that's right in my same wheelhouse. I've been doing this since 06, and there's still things that I haven't, you know, people are like, why haven't you completed that? It's like, I don't have any interest in that. Yeah. I'd rather go to a certain spot in geocache than to fill out a number. I'm not interested.
Yeah, it's not about statistics for us either. Yeah. It's about the experience.
Indeed. Right. Yeah. Now, you live in the South Island.
North Island.
You live in North Island. Okay. Is it pretty easy to just pop over to the South Island, or does it take a little time to plan?
It does take quite some planning, depending on how you want to get there. It's about an 8-hour drive and then a couple of hours on a ferry, or you can just get a $100 plane ticket and it takes maybe an hour. It really depends on how you want to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 2 hours. That's a little bit of time. But, you know, like you said, if you go, have y'all done some geocaching down there or?
No, we've done a trip around the South Island, but we've only been there once. So we haven't done geocaching as such there yet.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. No, I love when the movies first came out, the Lord of the Ring movies came out, it was one of those things where, you know, I love the stories. I read them to the boys when they were young and all that, but I loved all the behind the scenes of where they went and all the places that they went in New Zealand was just fascinating. And because then you realize, even though you're watching the movie, you're seeing all these different things and you're like, oh, wow, that's a cool looking shot from New Zealand. Yeah. You know, knowing that, you know, some of it's on sound stages, but a lot of it's outdoors because that's the story. Yeah. The story is outdoors.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and the sound stages are pretty like accurate to real life as well. Yeah. So it's,
Is there a favorite memory so far that stands out when you think about your favorite moments in geocaching? Is there anything that really stands out to you at this point?
Probably I would say in regards to like also meeting other geocachers, when we did our first ever gadget cache, it was like a birdhouse and we couldn't figure it out. And we spent like an hour trying to figure it out. And on the top of it actually had a phone number of the cache owner.
Oh, cool.
And if you have trouble, like text it, message it, and I can, you know, give you a hand kind of thing. Right. And we messaged the guy and he ended up actually coming down to the cache because he lived really, really close to it. And like he was there within 10 minutes and we met up with him and he showed it and like explained how it worked. And it was great. That was really cool having like being able to actually text the cache owner. That was awesome.
Have you met
half difficulty cache too? So
yeah, it was. Yeah, it was pretty hard.
Yep.
Right. No, that is neat. Have you been able to meet a handful of cachers, several cachers, just a few?
Well, that was him, and we went to an event in December, Christmas in the Park, and it was like mega organizers and a couple of other geocachers were there. So we've done one event so far.
Yep. Cool.
But you know, it's just so hard working around like your work and all that kind of stuff to actually get to events because quite often they're in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week.
Right.
So yeah.
No, that's neat. Yeah, I love events. I love seeing everybody. And we'll talk about the mega here in a little bit. Hopefully, cross fingers that the New Zealand mega will occur.
Yeah.
I think so. It's at least it was later in the year. So I think that's nice that
it's still 5 months away. So we're not 100% sure yet, but we'll find out.
Let's hope. So we'll switch gears again a little bit. So when did you first decide to do a vlog, and were you vlogging before with other subjects and then started doing that because you were geocaching, or did you start vlogging after you started geocaching?
We actually did both have YouTube channels before geocaching. So they're both plane related, like aviation related.
Okay.
That's actually how we met as well through our YouTube channels. So we just thought, okay, well, this is a fun new hobby. And we kind of like YouTube, like did a bit of research on what geocaching was before we went out and did it and found all these other YouTube channels. And we thought, hey, we're already YouTubing. Why not, you know, make a geocaching channel out of it?
Right.
And that's kind of how it started. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. So now you got me going down another rabbit trail. So tell us how you first met.
Well, the long version or the short version?
Take as much time as you need.
Well, we actually both had, or he had a plane spotting channel in Holland. And I had kind of just started getting into plane spotting. My dad used to take me to the airport and we'd watch the planes just for something to do on the weekend. And I started filming it and putting it on YouTube just for fun. And he was actually the first person to ever comment on one of my YouTube videos.
Oh, smart man.
So I just started chatting like, hey, you know, you get all excited. Someone's got the same hobby as you. And then eventually we started Skyping. And then I moved to America for 6 months to work at Walt Disney World. And because he was in Holland, it was only a 9-hour flight away. He said, hey, I should come over. No, we should
only
meet
a
up.
9-hour
only flight. A 9-hour
Only 9 hours, yeah.
Yeah, so he flew over to Walt Disney World and we met there. And that's it. And we moved in together here a couple years later.
That's pretty short.
Yeah, I know. I tried to shorten it.
And marriage after that and everything. It was awesome.
Yeah,
we're have to go down the Walt Disney rabbit trail a little bit because Susan and I are huge fans. We're watching the Walt Disney, the Disney food blog.
Oh, yeah.
AJ. And even though it's all closed right now, we're starting to plan again. We haven't been in a few years. My son, for his 18th birthday, we asked him, like, well, where would you like to go, you know, before college hits? Mm-hmm. Where would you like to go? And he goes, I want to go back to Disney World because we went there when they were young, much younger. And he remembered part of it, like, we're in, let's go. So, Susan and I got the itch again. We got to get back and Disney World. I've been to Disneyland. You ever been to Disneyland yet?
I went when I was a kid as well. I was about 6. I think I just turned 6 and our parents had taken us. So I kind of remember it a little bit through photos and stuff, but not really.
Yeah. I've only been a couple times myself, but like you said, it was long ago. And I mean, it was cool, but go to Disney World. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Much better.
So, I love it.
Much better. Yeah. No, yeah. It is amazing. So much fun. And I think a lot of people people always think about it as a kid place, which it is, but it's also for adults. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
For the young and the heart.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. So of the, let's flip back to your YouTube channel a little bit. I watched one the other day and I want you can comment on my comments, but it's the one where you walked out to the island.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Future Regional Park.
Yeah. And then you did several videos. I mean, you did several caches after that. So,
yeah.
But that's a great example. You went and got out there, DNF, moved on. But it was fun to, you know, it's fun to watch you two interact and, you know, laughing as you're heading out there. And it's like, that's not here. Let's go back, you know.
Most of every situation and make it like positive and funny, like shame on us, we didn't find it, you know, like, rather than like, oh damn,
being attacked by the mother bird or the whatever.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
through the mud like five inches deep and getting like sucked in, and oh man, great adventure.
She was not happy with you being out there by her
No,
but,
no way.
Also want to comment, and again, I'm noticing things about the video that I think you guys do such a great job on putting them together. Rachel, are you the one? You're the one that puts them all together.
Yeah.
I remember we talked about that in December, but you do a great job of stitching it all together. No, it's great.
Thank you.
But, shedding a tear. No, it yeah. Oh, pshaw. But one of the things, though, you guys were really good about during even that day is the way you tied everything back together. So there's a couple times where y'all were out near, caching in the area, and you could see the island behind you. And so you could kind of go, oh, look what the island looks like now. And it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. You can see how the tides come in. And, you know, there's these little points, of, you know, that you sort of use to stitch the whole thing together. So even though, you know, it might be a little bit longer video for some people to watch, you know, that's, you know, a whole debate as to how long a vlog should be. But with you guys, that was neat because I think it kept, since you were stitching together a lot of different cache finds or, you know, so that was kind of neat. You were able to kind of put it all together. I love the, you know, there's times and y'all, you know, you guys don't cut them out. The times where you're like, oh, muggles. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we love leaving that in because that's like the whole, like, well, basically kind of the only struggle of geocaching apart from not being able to find the cache is avoiding muggles, especially like in New Zealand in the middle of summer, everyone's at the park. So they're just everywhere and you can't avoid them. It's kind of exciting, like hiding from a muggle or waiting them out or, you know, it's part of the fun.
Or not knowing that they are there. Like in that same video.
Oh, yeah.
We were like just after finding a cache or whatever, we're just discussing something and then suddenly out of nowhere we heard this sneeze.
Yes. Oh yeah, that man sneezing. We're just like,
oh my gosh. Yeah, because you turned to each other and went, we're getting out of here. No, it was great. You know, that's, I think people tend to sometimes cut too much out of their video, out of their vlogs and don't leave in some of that human interaction or things that happen or, yeah. Y'all do such a great job of putting them together because there are points where it's a fine balance between we're looking, but we don't want to get 6 minutes of you staring at a tree going, I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. I mean, you don't want that, obviously. Yeah. So there's that nice, y'all do a good blend of, you know, somebody searching or, you know, you had that interesting time in that video too, where you'd found, I think y'all found at least two containers. One was or at the bridge, there was one where you found the replacement, you found the original, right?
The three caches actually in one location.
There was one original that we found, and then there was supposed to have been a replacement, and then we found another replacement because he'd replaced it three times, but nobody had found any of them, so he kept replacing it, but we ended up finding all of them.
Right. That's crazy.
Yeah, but there's definitely a fine balance between being able to share like your whole day, like in a timeline, but keeping the flow going, but still putting the important points in there without making it super produced. It's like such a fine line.
Yeah.
Yes. No, it is. And that there is a very, and it takes an adept touch in a sense to the editing to make it flow. And that one really sticks out in my mind of one that's, flows well. And, even when you're like doing the most recent one where you're just doing updates, you guys do a great job of just, I mean, you could sit there and read it, but y'all's interacting, y'all goofing off and making funny faces or funny accents. You guys could probably do, I want to hear some Southern, I want to throw some y'alls in there. That's what
y'all.
Go to Mega, y'all need to go.
That's right. Y'all need to come to the Mega. So we have such we have very regional accents. So for example, my parents were born in the Midwest. So a lot of people think when I speak, it's a lot of Midwest, but if you listen long enough, all of a sudden the Texas comes out because Texas has almost its own, but it's different because it's not a Southern. Southerns talk more like this with the draw like this. Whereas, Texans are more like, hey, how you doing? How's how y'all doing?
Here we don't have like any different accents. It's either like different accent because of your ethnicity. Like he's Dutch, so he's got a little bit of an accent, or it's just Kiwi. We don't have like regional accents.
Yeah, that's something too that's neat because Paul definitely has that. He does have the Dutch comes out some of the time.
He's not 100% Kiwi.
Yep.
Indeed. Right. That's neat. So y'all don't have y'all are different than Australia. Australia has their own kind of weird quirky things that they say. And do you have work
off button?
And vice versa. It's like an ongoing thing. Yeah.
Right. Are there words that are only New Zealand words, do you think? Or do you have like Australian/New Zealand, or is it British too? And
I wouldn't say it's so much individual words, but I think we have phrases that to people who aren't from Australia and New Zealand just make no sense, but to us make total sense. Like, for example, there's one that's like, and it's like, well, yeah or nah, people like don't understand what that phrase
means. Nah.
Nah means nah. Like right. No. You know what I mean? Like things that like make sense to us, but no sense to anyone else.
So it's yes, no, but in a yana, but it means no.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, yes, or like choice, bro. Like,
yep. Sure.
Sure.
Yep.
Like all good. Sure means all good. There's so many little individual phrases that make no sense to anyone else.
I love that. That is awesome. So when you think of your geocaching experience so far as, well, let's go since we're talking about New Zealand, and we'll come around to another question I have, but where are some places that you have been so far? Let's start with those. Where are some places that really stand out? Is it coastlines or is it what part of the North Island do you really, really relish? Oh, there's a cache there. Let's go back to that area because it's an area that you really like.
Actually, it's just pretty much what we've been talking about. Just the regional parks really do it for us. Like just open fields with like 40 odd caches there, and you can spend a whole day, pack a lunch, you know, go for like 12 hours, like sunrise to sunset, and just spend a whole day there. Like maybe even a little bit of a road trip to get there.
That's cool.
Yep.
So,
that's pretty much.
Yep.
Are there some pretty good ones along the coast? I like going to the coast. I'm not a big beach guy, but I do love looking at the ocean. Is there some particular ones that you really like that were along the coastline, or
definitely out Maraetai way?
Maraetai slash like do the regional park. That's something that I really enjoyed, like that whole day. It's like a little peninsula. It's like stuffed with caches. It's full of them.
Oh, cool! So
we spent 2 days there.
Oh, neat.
Like
a whole day was just walking around the peninsula on the beach side. Eh? Yep. We did one day walking around the peninsula on the beach, and then one day on the peninsula on the top of the hills.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's very cool. So is there particular aspects to geocaching that you really, well, we talked about some of it, but is there some things that you really, really, really like or stand out, like a multi-cache? Is that something that, is there certain types that really stand out to you? I mean, traditionals, I'm very similar to you guys as far as I love the traditionals, but I kind of like a good, well done multi-cache. Some of them are not as great up here, but have you found any of those multi-stage type caches where you're like, oh, this is really cool. Hopefully the next stage is cool too, or anything like that.
Yeah, we've had a few that are very surprising because we kind of don't really go for the multis. Like if we've got a full day and we just want to do as many as possible, we kind of skip those because they might take so long.
Right.
But the ones we've done can be like quite surprising, like surprisingly good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, like the night cache we did, I think we've done one night cache.
Yeah.
And the one that we did was actually really nice.
Surprisingly, we were like,
it was simple.
Yeah.
But it was because it just led you around a paddock, basically.
Oh,
but never done a night cache, and then you just see those little what are they called? Cat
little eyes. Fire packs.
Fire
packs. Yeah.
Yeah. We're like, that's really cool. So we wanted to do more of those.
Yeah, and the cool thing about it was so simple. Like it was such a short one, but the starting point was basically the same as the finish point.
Yeah.
But they just led you like a couple hundred meters this way, a couple hundred meters that way, and then we came back, wait a minute, this is where we started. And it was exactly where we were standing when we started. Like that was the cool thing about it. It was so simple, but it just blows your mind.
I love that. There's something. It's almost like you're getting multi-finds or multi-adventure in the fact that when you find a fire attack, it's like, oh, cool, we found a fire attack. Let's keep going.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Finding the breadcrumbs. Yeah, I love those. had one here locally. I need to put another one out because I got some more fire attacks. But that's cool. Yeah, I love those.
That was awesome.
Have you found that you're wanting to branch out in the vlog? Is there, because, vlogging a virtual doesn't really have, I mean, it can have, if you're good at it. I mean, Joshua is always pretty good about making an adventure out of a virtual or an earth cache. Is there, is that challenging, something you want to do more of?
You've definitely got to plan more for those, I think. I mean, like you said, Joshua puts a really good story on a virtual, for example. You can't just go and be like, hey, look, we took a picture here. That's virtual, you know. You've got to really explain, like, make it more about your day and going to find it rather than making the virtual the main thing. You got to tell the story behind it and all that kind of jazz first.
Right. Yeah, because not much of a vlog go, hey, look, here we are. Well, thanks.
Cool, nice picture. Put the picture up there. Totally. Yeah.
Go watch one of our other videos. It's a lot longer than 30 seconds. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
interesting. Those can be fun. I mean, those can be fun to do as well. It's a whole different aspect of the game that I think, like filming a gadget cache, those can be tough too. Cause do you film correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you're going to film it. And if it's not there, well, I mean, obviously, but you don't tend to sort of look for it and then go, okay, we found it. Okay, back up. Turn the camera on. Let's film it. I mean, obviously sometimes you might do that, but y'all tend to not do that.
Yeah, we kind of just go with the flow. And it is indeed difficult filming things like gadget caches because you want to film them and tell people the story of how you managed to solve it without spoiling it kind of thing. So you want to let people know, oh, we turned this and pulled that and da 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 da, but not 100% how it happened. So it's still kind of a little bit of a mystery and people can kind of think about it for themselves. It's indeed, everything's just a fine balance of keeping it natural and filming how you did it, but also not spoiling it at the same time.
Exactly, yeah. Is there an aspect to the game that you would like to do that you haven't done yet?
What haven't we done yet? I think we've tried a bit of everything. Like we did our first Adventure Lab recently.
And yeah.
We got our first FDF recently. We never tried for an FDF. We got that.
We have our own geocache. So that's something
done. Yep.
So I don't really think.
No, not really. Yeah. We kind of just go with the flow. And if we see something that just pops up, like, hey, there's a really cool puzzle and we think we can solve it, then we'll go for it, you know? Like,
sure. The only thing that's still on our list, of course, is like the NZ Mega, like an event like that.
A big event.
Yeah. To see like booths full of coins
and geocaching stuff. Yeah. Just going to be 10 minutes of us being like,
That's really something.
Those are
going to
be interesting videos to edit.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, and we'll talk about that because I got a couple other things. But let's talk about the Mega since you brought that up. So, New Zealand's Mega's in October.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, I guessed right. Yes. I know a lot of people here, or some people I know here, are really hoping they can travel because, you know, right now international travel is a little bit dicey. But they're still talking to Joshua. In fact, Joshua, geocaching vlogger, wants to come down there to the New Zealand Mega.
Yep.
We're talking the other day because the Seattle plans have been postponed. You know, I'm involved with Mingo Madness. That one is supposed to be in September. We're still hoping. We moved it from May to September, so we're really hoping that'll work. But I was talking to him because he's like, you know, the only travel I have left this year that he scheduled was Mingo, which is in September, and then New Zealand. And so I was like, man, I hope you can get to go because we talked before. It's like, it's not far from you guys, is it? I mean, as far as
probably about less than a 10-minute drive from my house. So, we better not be late.
Everybody's coming to your place. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Party at us. Woo.
Yeah. Right at the post bus. Yeah. Because Gia Woodstock last year was in Fort Worth, which is it's a little bit of a drive from here, but still, you know, when you're talking hour and a half, whereas other people it's, you know, 12 hours to get there and, you know, they're like, we're going to crash at your place. Like, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be over in Fort Worth. So crash with us over there. But I tell you, I love Megas. You guys are going to have a great time. Film like crazy, but also enjoy it. There's that balance, you know? Yeah.
And I mean, we said to the guys, like, hey, we'd love to volunteer to help with something at the Mega because we're so close. For example, like setting up or packing it down, you know, we don't mind spending an extra bit of time helping out there because we're so close, but we still also want to enjoy it and get our footage, but also like meet with other people and, you know, get that fine balance as we're talking about of everything and not spending editing afterwards, like getting just the footage you need for each kind of video.
You know, there's always the fun of filming with other people. You know, that's something that is always neat to see vloggers when they go. You know, it's funny because we had both at the one in Cincinnati and the one in Fort Worth, we had what's called a vlogger summit.
Oh, yeah.
And so Jesse and I got to sort of tag along, even though we're podcasters. We get pulled in, you know, we're welcomed with open arms by the vloggers. And it's fun. Because I'm not filming, because we're mostly never filming. But what's fun is walking around with all the vloggers and watching each of them do their individual thing.
Yeah, because everyone's got their thing. Everyone's got their intro and their outro and like their little quirks and
So that's neat. So hopefully you'll have a few vloggers. I don't know who all is going to show up. Hopefully New Zealand, you know, you'll get a two or three folk that do film, or just, you know, just the regular geocachers, like you said, that'll be fun to have and to see them and interact with them. That's neat. So the mega is it scheduled for a weekend? Three to four days?
What we call Labor Weekend. So it's the 23rd to the 26th. So it's scheduled over 3 days. Yeah, 3 days. But it does have a few events before and a few events after. That's just the main like event at the set venue.
Mm, right.
There'll be more events before and after, but they have
The side events are usually, are, you know, can be a lot of fun too, like you said.
Totally.
What aspect or what item or anything that you've thought of that you wish we had in geocaching? Is there a type that you've thought of that you would like to have?
I'm gonna let him answer this. He's had an answer prepared for this for so long.
Bruce. So I mean, Paul. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Paul.
I'm just ranting about it every time I get the opportunity to. When we started, there was this thing in the app that we really liked. When you were in the proximity of about, like, say, 10 meters, there was this sound in the app saying, like, bing, bing. And somehow HQ decided to remove that sound because, well, being stealth and all that stuff, it doesn't fit to being stealth.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So they replaced it just with a little buzzing. How do you call it?
Like it vibrates when you get close.
And it vibrates. But the vibrate function has a toggle switch. You can turn it on and off. And I'm like, why did you not put a toggle switch on the sound so you can turn the sound off if you want?
All right. Some people don't want that.
I think the reason you're so upset about this is because I think that was our second ever trip geocaching. So that brings back the first memories of geocaching. That was like one of the original things that we related to the game of geocaching. So I think that's why you get so upset about it.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Sound and
it's like, oh, we're close. You know, like it's the like kind of where the excitement also came from.
Yep. And now it's just
That's not exciting. Yeah, it'd be funny too if you could pick a little clip of a song, so you can put your own, you can make your own song, but you know, pull a favorite tune part of it. Yep. You can stand and hold it up and go, you know, Rachel, look, it's going on. We're close. Oh, that is good.
That's
bitter about it.
I'm really bitter about that.
So do you have, obviously we've had such a stoppage in all our lives here. Are you planning, obviously I'm sure you have at least one spot. Do you keep like adding now? You're like, oh, we need to go here. Let's make a note. Oh, we need to go here. Let's make a note. Like the list is starting to get longer.
Definitely. Cause you think of more and more places to go. You see something on the news and you're like, oh yeah, we could go there. Or we could make a good story about that. So it piles up and we've got like a pages file on my computer and we just add it in there. And so as soon as lockdown's over, we're just going to have all of these things to do.
Yes, I know. Yes. It's how far, like when things were normal, hopefully we get back there one day, but each vlogger does it differently, but how far ahead or how many did you have sort of in the works did you try to keep two or three vlogs in process, or did y'all live dangerously and do, you know, only have one ready to go the next day? I mean, not next day, but you know, like next week, you know, did Paul ever say, hey, we got to go get one because we don't have one to do. Or did y'all ever get to that point?
We always live dangerously. We don't really ever plan it any more than a couple of days in advance. Like, we'll go film it and edit it and put it up maybe sometimes within like 2 or 3 days, depending on if we have like days off or if we're working at the same time. Well, I mean, he's always doing our captions on the videos, and he's doing them the hour before. He's just panicking to get them done the hour before it goes live. So we always live it. If we have a video planned a week in advance, that's like a miracle for us.
Yeah.
or have two done and not have them, you know, published yet is a miracle.
Because I find it also works for like for my editing. I find it easy to edit them if it's kind of just happened. So we don't really stockpile any footage. So I can remember what happened in the day and I can be like, oh, yeah, and then this happened next and this was quite funny. Let me add that. And it helps with the editing part of it as well.
Neat.
Yeah. Quite free.
Yeah. So let's say in a perfect world that we could go anywhere in the world at any time. Forget the cash. We don't need that. Where are some places in the world that you would like to go and geocache, do you think? they're looking at each other right now. It's an audio podcast. So I'm telling you, they're going, I don't know.
for me, it would be Florida on number one.
Because we have so much history there, and we've spent there so many times without geocaching. We'd love to go back and be like, oh, we walked right past that 600 times, or, you know, like, I think that'd be cool. I think just basically anywhere in America, actually, doing a nice big road trip, or even in Canada. Canada is really pretty as well.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be great. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, Disney. There's a Magic Kingdom. It's got a virtual there. Gonna go there.
Yeah, we've been there like how many times?
I know. That's the thing too for us. You know, we have done some in Florida, but usually we had somebody with us. We had either all three boys or one of the boys, and you know, they're okay with geocaching, but they didn't want to go. They want to go do something else, and that's understandable. I mean,
totally.
If you're Disney World, you want to be at Disney World, but you know, there's so many cool ones nearby, so that's kind of fun. But that's neat. Yeah, there's, you know, Susan and I want to go. We have a little bit of a debate as to I want to go to Iceland.
Ooh,
but she wants to go to Ireland, which both are gorgeous. We made the mistake of going to Scotland when the boys were younger, and we had planned. I brought my GPS and we were going to plan to get one, but we were with a tour group, and the one I had planned, again, mistake. I should have had like 10 planned so I could grab one, but I never grabbed one. So I have a little bit of geocaching regret, but Well, cool. Well, is there, go ahead.
Iceland. That sounds great. I think that would be great to go geocaching there.
Yeah, stunning as well. Stunning place.
Yep.
Yeah. Sort of a fire and ice, you know, because they have a little bit of the volcano working, but also, you know, different part of the world. And Susan wants to see Northern Lights.
Yeah, I would do that too. See the Southern Lights, been there, done that. Now I want the Northern Lights.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. We've always mentioned too, we want to go down there because there's, you know, we love staring at the stars once in a while, and there's a whole separate set of stars in New Zealand.
Yeah, it's all a different way around, and it's upside down.
Southern Cross and all these things we don't have up here. So and going to see all the Lord of the Rings, the ones that are still there. Obviously, some of them they filmed and they weren't. I think it's neat that they were allowed to film some areas, with the understanding that they were going to put it all back the way it was. That was kind of neat. I thought that they really were paying, you know, were respectful of the areas, and that was kind of neat. So speaking of going to the mega, as we sort of start to wrap up tonight, is there a couple of areas in New Zealand that you would recommend people either, go to, and also while you're there, they're good cache hotspots? What are some couple places that stand out that you want to recommend to folk to go?
I'll probably start with, I mean, Auckland, it's not really the most scenic place in New Zealand because there are, you know, South Island is definitely prettier than the North Island. But Auckland is a lot of, I mean, like the regional parks, everything is so close. Like you can go to 100 different places within an hour's drive and you've got so many different kinds of caches, caves, mountains, kind of beaches, bit of everything.
Right.
So that's probably one place just for its proximity. But
I think east of Auckland in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like east, southeast. There are a few cache owners there that really, really, really love geocaching and always come up with like the most, like, not most, but like really creative caches. One of them is Steve. He does a fantastic job. He makes every geocache just a little bit special. And
that's cool.
Yeah, we like that. And it's when you see a cache on the page from him, you just know it's going to be a nice cache and not just a bison tube or anything.
Apart from that, definitely South Island if you're going for the scenic aspect of it. Like if you're going for a holiday and you just kind of want to do geocaching on the side, definitely the South Island.
For sure.
Oh, cool. That's very cool. All right. Well, tell people how they can see the channel and your information on the YouTube channel for folk. Where should they go?
Okay, so on YouTube, our name is obviously The Curious Kiwis. On Instagram, we are at The Real Curious Kiwis because we couldn't get The Curious Kiwis name.
And we are the real ones.
And the real, real ones. So logic. And then on Twitter.
The Real Kiwis. No. Just The Curious Kiwis.
Just The Curious Kiwis on Twitter.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Curious Kiwis everywhere apart from Instagram.
Instagram.
Yeah, so Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter are all The Curious Kiwis.
Right.
And the links are also on our YouTube page, so
yeah.
You can go from there.
Yeah, that's perfect. Well, Paul and Rachel, thank you so much. It was fun tonight. It's tonight for me. That's the beauty of internet. Beauty of our stream is it's Saturday afternoon for them, Friday night for me, but we're social distancing very well.
Very well.
Thousands of miles. But through the miracle of these different, you know, for us at StreamYard, you know, it's almost like we're in the same room talking. So it's been fun. Exactly. Looking forward to actually getting to meet you two one day and going a little doing some geocaching and goofing off and hopefully get to be on one of the videos sometime. That's neat.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you
for having us.
You bet.